reorganizing pages, taking a sip of wine.
Can't believe you don't include all this.
Oh, yeah. Hello, and welcome to a bonus episode of You Totally Made That Up. In the event that you are new, I will advise you to backtrack and listen to other episodes, because I suspect this one will seem confusing and strange and just generally wackadoo, since this is merely a treat for our regulars, a mini-ep with a chunk of extra content and outtakes and sidebars and rants and the like from the past. I get a little fired up. Tiff gets on a couple tangents. It's the stuff that happens in some other podcasts that have nothing to do with anything, but they still leave it in. I'm being snarky, I know, but we don't do that here. Our stories are long enough without a lot of blah, blah, blah. But some of that blah I kept on the old hard drive because it was amusing, and I suspect you'll find the one at the end highly amusing. If you do decide to go on and listen and are curious as to what the hell this stuff relates to, excepting the stuff that relates to nothing in particular, head on over to the blog and go to show notes. I'll list the pertinence there. And keep listening, because after all of this, at the very end, you're going to hear how to find us on social media, where the blog is, email, all that good stuff. Enough of all this, let's get rolling. We hope you enjoy the bonus content and the peek behind the scenes. It's officially Halloween month.
Hooray! It's the best.
It's actually starting to feel slightly cooler outside. Not by much, but a little.
Yeah, we've got trees are changing colors, and we had a few fallish kind of days. It's going to be like 80 tomorrow, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, screw all this. Nobody cares about any of this. I'm going to edit every bit of it out. I don't even know why. All right, let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's the stuff that I don't give a shit about that makes me roll my eyes every time I start a podcast. That and them launching into cursing immediately and burping in the microphone or knocking over the microphone. That's another one I loved. There's this one podcast that gets like shit tons of retweets, and I've tried to listen to them multiple times. They sound like they're recording from inside of a sock, and they're knocking into the microphone all the time, and I don't understand.
Yeah.
So yeah, all of this is getting edited. That's okay. I'm getting warmed up. All right.
All right.
And yeah, because as said, these were not hastily crafted. There's tons of detail. Lots of care was put into these little suckers, which the boys didn't care about. I remember being a child, and perhaps, you know, not to be sexist or whatnot, but perhaps this is a girl versus boy thing. But I feel like I would have maybe tried to open them, and perhaps I might have ruined them in that respect, but it just would not have entered my brain to start throwing tiny coffins at my friends. Like, why? Why would you? Here we go. To digress. I've got to digress briefly. Years ago, an old boyfriend and I went to his best friend's house for 4th of July, and I'm on the lawn with a handful of others, and we're playing that game where you toss the sandbags. You know, what is that game? I think it's called cornhole.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, okay.
Yep.
So anyhow, the best friend is up on the porch, and he starts throwing those little popper things at me and at others, but primarily at me. And I finally was like, can you not? And he looks at me like I was out of my mind for being irritated at that, just rolling his eyes. And listeners, we were all in our mid-30s. When I said years ago, I do not mean that this was my grade school ex-boyfriend and like our parents had dropped us off for July 4th. No, no.
Nope. I had to sit in the car with my brother and one of his friends as they had a slap fight. So yeah, I'm with you on the generalization that boys are a little bit more destructive.
And you have two boys, so you can speak to this. I pray, though, and I have faith in you, that you're raising them that when they're in their mid-30s and they're at a social gathering, that they're not going to chuck fireworks at another adult.
That is, I'll make sure to set that standard.
Go make a note. Why don't you make a note? Okay.
I will. Did you have dolls as a kid?
Did you
like collect dolls? Like, or did, were they for play or what?
I mean, both. I like things in groups. I'm not, you know, OCD or something like that. I didn't like just having one Cabbage Patch doll. I liked having a handful. So like there was a little pile of Cabbage Patch. I had a handful of, do you know Precious Moments? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I had a good stash of them. I had a handful of porcelain dolls, of course, copious Barbies. But yeah, I never did like just having a single. I always wanted to have duos at minimum.
They had to have friends.
Everybody was friends.
No creepy dolls that you had to talk to or?
Oh, God, no. And now no. Mother, I should, God, y'all, if I, next time I get to Mother and Dad's house, I'll take a picture because it's up in one of the guest room closets for people to. Mom has one of those like toddler sized jointed limbs, old timey, that hard 1950s, like you could break a bone on them, hard plastic from the 1950s. The eyes blink, but the hair is like carved into the plastic.
Oh, yeah.
One of those baby dolls. Yeah. So I'll have to take a picture of it next time I'm there and we'll put it up on Instagram or something.
Oh, my gosh. But it'll
take you back. And I have one of her old, old Raggedy Ann dolls.
Like an Annabelle.
Yeah. Yeah. Legit, it does. Because like the Raggedy Ann dolls of my generation look too new and perfect. But yeah, this is like, the red is more burgundy. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I know we did have Raggedy Ann and Andy. I distinctly remember those. But yeah, my mom was very much like, you're going to be a little lady and you're going to collect dolls. And so, you know, every week I had to like dust them. I had dolls I couldn't play with. They were specifically for sitting on my shelf. And I don't like them. I don't like them. I wasn't ever like creeped out by them. But I know there was one that I had gotten from my great grandma, and I don't know if it was meant to, it was just the way that the face was painted, like the eyes, they like look like they're staring out of the side of her head. I mean, it's like extreme side eye. It's almost, you know, it's very cartoonish where it's like, are you looking out of your own ear canal? Is that how far you've turned your eyes? She was just always, you know, just this little doll with this green dress and... You know, it's little hairdo and it's just always looking over to the side with its mouth, like just opened a little bit. And I was like, oh, I don't like that. Mm-mm. Don't like that one. Thank you, though. But I still have it. It's up in my creepy attic.
And it's here approximately 20 feet away from me. And
yeah, it's good. It's going to come to life and start haunting me now that I've talked shit about it since I finally admitted that it's creepy.
I had a group of very interesting cousins. My mom would always be like, don't you dare do what X, Y, and Z do to their babies. Cause they would play hairdresser on the Barbies and the strawberry shortcakes and stuff like that. And my mom was like, if you ever, like, she was like, oh, don't you dare, you know, destroy your dolls. But one thing that my cousins did that I really liked, and again, just, I'm not from a family full of races, but I am from the South. And so just you, divine what you will from there. There's overtones and undertones lurking around. And so my badass ballsy cousins, when relatives would not buy them various ethnicities, like granted, back when we were little, there just weren't a lot. It was mostly just black and white. To my knowledge, I think that's all. I say mostly. I think that was all your choices were. Mm-hmm. And even then, it would be like 8 primary characters who were white and then the one that was black, and that was
right.
It.
Yeah.
And so my cousins took to painting, and I remember this specifically about the strawberry shortcakes. They would just take to painting the skin different colors, some a little slightly orange tinted, some more, you know, kind of ochre tinted, some brown, some, you know what I mean, like they would mix paints. And and my mom just was horrified, not because of the race angle, but because they were destroying dolls. It blew her mind. Like, why wouldn't somebody take care of their babies? They're messing up their babies. I'm like, no, they're making them beautiful. You know, as kids, we thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If somebody ever goes to my grandpa's old land and starts digging up his gravel driveway, you are going to find a treasure trove of dolls, of He-Man figures.
Really?
G.I. Joe.
Did y'all have funerals?
No, it was really just, let's dig a tunnel and see how far we can get. Oh, let's put that in there. Let's bury it. We'll come back later. And of course, we never did. You don't remember where that shit is. It's a gravel driveway. It's not like there's anything that distinguishes it. You put rocks back on top.
Right. I thought, well, you know what, though? G.I. Joe funerals, toy soldier funerals make sense.
Yeah, no, we just...
We lost them in the battle of Driveway Hill.
See, okay, back to the destructive boys thing. My brother, he always had firecrackers and, like, not the little poppers, like, actually the little ones that look like tiny little sticks of dynamite, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He, because I wanted to be cool, like my big brother, he would be like, I'm going to hold this in my hand while it goes off. And you have to do that too. So, yes, I would, like, have an open palm with a little firecracker in it and, you know, and then we would blow things up. We'd be like, oh, let's put firecrackers around this He-Man guy, one of the villains, whatever, and see what happens. And then it wasn't that we had funerals. It was just we were bored and literally in the middle of nowhere with shovels and firecrackers. Yeah. So there you go.
I don't know how we survived. I really don't.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like helicopter parenting? That just didn't hardly exist until more recent generations. It really did not. And I know that people listening are thinking, that's not true. It's been around every generation. Oh, no. No, friends. In the 80s and early 90s and such, you just went and did. Mm-hmm. Like, your parents were like, you know, just show back up at XYZ time and or call me when you get there, if you got even that.
Yeah.
As the 90s rolled on, it got more people... You know, and of course, cell phones started coming into play and beepers and stuff. There was more of that. But I'm telling y'all, back in the day when you were a kid, it
was go outside, come back.
Go outside, get out of this house. Go.
Oh, yeah. No, I was found like climbing up on the roof and on our, because we had the antenna tower that was right next to the house, you know, because there was nothing else going out there. And so I had climbed the antenna tower and was just sitting up on the roof. And I was like, maybe three. Because it was just go outside and play, Tiff.
Yep.
Where's yep. Tiffany? Where is she? And I'm just giggling. I am laughing, thinking this is hilarious. My family all turns around finally and sees me sitting up on the roof. Yeah. I'm alive and it's amazing.
I don't know how we all survive. I really don't. Well, look. Because like, a lot of people did not come away unscathed. I'm telling you. And you can tell by their behavior as adults that a lot did not. They did not make it out. Like, at least we made it out.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a recent documentary-esque miniseries you may have heard of by a group of paranormal investigators, not of the Joe Nichols sort, definitely not, that came out just this year about the return of the Kentucky Goblins. But it's look. I just look for the record, my thought on all that stuff is have fun. As long as nobody's getting swindled out of money or other resources or something like that, knock it out. Have a blast. Couldn't care less. So on that note, if you want to have that kind of fun, they put it on YouTube in its entirety. I'm not going to name it or turn this into a review because I'm not in the mood to risk getting smoked on Twitter. Per my observation, anyone who has any critique about it gets snark and blowback from the filmmakers and from fans. It's really interesting. Like, they can't take critique. So all I'll say is, hey, give it a whirl. If paranormal investigation stuff is your jam, you'll probably enjoy it. Because they go to Kentucky, and so that's a fun little field trip. The production value's good. That's, there you go. I'm not going to say nothing else. Just know that in terms of comparing it to Hopkinsville, the assertion is that it has tons of stuff in common. And from what I can divine, it has one thing in common. I did watch some of it, so, you know, it has one thing in common, which is that something weird in a backyard in a small town in Kentucky happened. The description of what was seen this go-round bears little similarity, and plus, they don't have an in-person witness or witnesses, which would be lovelier, but one person wrote them an email. And I have no reason to believe that the people behind the show made it up. Not at all. I'm saying that my gut reaction is to think that they got played. But whatever, you know, they got a fun little successful show out of it. So yay, team. They're smart cookies. Way to go.
I'm just amazed that they got a show out of an email that was, you know,
unsubstantiated.
Verified?
Yeah. And they had a name. And they go, okay, we'll just go down this road. They go to this little town. And by little, I mean 300 people little. They'd have a name. The guy gave his first and last name. And he mentioned he was a doctor. Didn't say if it was medical or otherwise. But he said he was a doctor. Now, in a town of that many people, and this is country. Like, let me, for the listeners, I am Southern. There is country in Southern. But you can have country in places not Southern. There's Pennsylvania country. Country is very specific. It's a very specific vibe. It's a very specific community. It's very unassuming. They take care of their own. They are slightly reticent to outsiders. But if you show that you're not there to be judgy or, you know, invade their space or take advantage of them or whatever, they will embrace you like no other. So They go out there with a name and with a description. It's vague, but of kind of what his house looked like and his occupation, and nobody has heard of this person. So here's their conclusion. Oh, he's given us a fake name. Another conclusion, may I submit, would be that the whole thing's fake. That somebody's trying to, because there were subsequent emails, but that didn't really give them much to go on. That's all they had to go on. There was a photograph that showed a blur. And a photograph of the most pristine footprint of something that I've ever seen in my life. Pristine.
A single footprint? Like There's no other footprints in the area?
Nope.
Only one. Okay.
Well, I mean, there could have been more, but that was the footprint. And I just... they lost me. Here's the thing. They start bringing in all this woo. They start bringing in stuff about the Mothman and stuff about, I got 2.25 episodes in before I tapped out. So listen, for me, that's huge. And again, production value, great. The music that somebody composed for it is great. The pacing was a drag. In my mind, they have about 3 episodes worth of stuff that got stretched into 5. And it's like, well, you didn't watch the whole thing. Well, no, I didn't. They didn't woo me early on by taking a million minutes to read every word of the emails that some random sent to this dude. Just, you know, quote the key parts and summarize the rest and move on. And they're introducing team members with all this backstory, like they're the goddamn Avengers. And a lot of talk about synchronicity. If I heard that word one more damn time, you mean coincidence? Like when stuff you've been working for falls into place? Is that what that means? Just and painstakingly long shots of empty chairs and cats and then walking into a hotel and tapping on the steering wheel. Like, can you find the man? Find the man that wrote you the email. Find the man. This isn't hard. I mean, it shouldn't be hard. And, you know, but they can't. They can't do that because the conclusion is they got taken. There is no man. Go to the post office. And they might have, because again, I quit watching. Like they did, they like called radio stations or TV stations and newspapers or something. They called around.
Oh my Lord.
They called around. Oh my God. But I'm like, and they asked around. So that's smart. You ask around. Now, you don't call hospitals and you don't call doctor's offices and you don't call the cops, because the return is we don't comment on people's personal lives. We don't comment on What you do is you go to people who aren't bound by confidentiality. But I don't know. Maybe they went to realtors. I have no idea. But I'm telling you, a doctor and his wife and his children moved to this very, very, very rural place. People will know them. They will, even if they don't know them, they're going to make a point to know about them. And so upon not finding that, well, the story's over. So they had to add all this other stuff and try to make all these connections and they were talking about Indrid Cold. Have you ever heard of that? We might talk about it on an episode. People listening, if I don't edit all this out, they're going to go, oh, really? Indrid Cold. They were talking about codes and ciphers from Aleister Crowley. they were talking about doing, they were doing spirit boxes. They were doing, and I just tapped out. I was like, what are you doing? Is this about the, and clear across the state, this, it's Hellier. Okay. I'll just say the name. It's Hellier, Kentucky. And the name of the series is Hellier. So Hellier, Kentucky is far and gone from Hopkinsville. It's clean across the state. It's over Virginia way. And I don't make, why aren't they trying to make a connection? Go back and dig into Hopkinsville, first of all. Make that part of your little documentary. Tell people about that. Then you investigate the shit out of this and maybe try to contact people who are still alive. Maybe, maybe. I'm editing every bit of this out. Okay. Anyway. I'm going to get unflustered and readjust.
I was enjoying that little rant.
Were you? Maybe I'll leave it in. This
should be like an extra snippet. Okay. Bonus material.
Oh, it'll be bonus. It'll be bonus. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea, actually.
Another commercial Christmas industry that was born by Victorians was the Christmas cracker, which I guess we don't see as much now, but you can see kind of how it evolved. So the Christmas cracker, and maybe this is just something that they do elsewhere.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure that's still a tradition in England, at least. Yeah. Possibly the UK as a whole, but I'm pretty sure. Guys, write in and tell us, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Yeah. If you do get these, that's pretty cool. I don't. I never did.
I've never gotten one either. I know what it is. Describe it. Sorry. I'm stamping all over you. Describe it in case.
No, it's okay. I got distracted because I was thinking of like how I used to get candy put in my shoes, which is a lot less fun. So the Christmas cracker, when he first made it, what he did was he actually put chemicals. He covered the sweets with paper wrappings that had been treated with chemicals. So they made a little explosion when they were unwrapped, and they were called firecracker sweets. And then soon they started, instead of putting sweets in there, they would put in little trinkets and little, you know, tiny toys and things like that. And so it became Christmas cracker. They would pop it open and it was like, woo! And then you've got fun little things in there. They sound like they're fun. Maybe it's like the crescent roll containers.
Oh, like Womp biscuits? That, or you can do that. Guys, you can do that with any compressed can of biscuits or, what'd you say, crescent rolls?
Yeah, the Listen, Pillsbury, where you pop it open.
Yeah, don't do that shit where you press a spoon to the sink. That's not fun. You take it and you womp it square in the middle on the side of your counter, and it'll poof.
I just pop it with my finger.
No. No, you got to womp that. That's why they're womp biscuits. You womp that can on the side of the counter.
That's risky. I don't know.
It's not like boiling. No, no, I would never boil a can of condensed milk. No, I would never do that.
Who does that? What's that?
Yeah. Read some recipes, yo.
For what?
To make it like all caramely, and some people eat it straight from the can, but you boil the can first.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You're supposed to. No, it's horrible. Don't anybody ever do this, but Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
People okay. do this. Right. I'm telling you, people do this.
No, I get it. People put eggs in cider, apparently.
Hello.
Don't do it.
And bake a bunch of roadkill pie and
Merry Christmas.
No, happy holidays. Fuck your happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Ooh, all right. I have to find my spot again. I got all worked up about roadkill pie and eggs.
Oh, and I meant to tell you, editing this last episode, I was cracking up. You got to put on husband's list for him to WD-40 that chair. Because, like, it was so funny. It's like you would laugh, and then I could, like, set my watch by it. Midway through, you'd be like, ha, ha, crack, ha, 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 ha. So I could tell you were either leaning back or leaning forward, but somehow you were rocking in your seat.
Yeah. Yep, that's me trying to get away from the mic.
Oh, so you're rocking back. So it's like, ha, ha, yep. Ha, ha.
Sorry.
Oh, I left it in too. We'll see if it comes up in this. As if I didn't talk enough about whales. Get ready. Seriously, like a 5-minute thing I found fascinating. Here I am with the F's. Hey, between recording that episode and now, the dental stuff is not resolved. And yeah, I found something interesting about whales that I wanted to share because I didn't know it. And not that I think that I'm the oracle of knowledge, but I thought this is weird enough that I wonder if many people know it. So I'm going to tell you about whales. Then Tiff is going to tell you about her cult, her near cult experience.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, know this about me. I'm not a recycler. And that's my way of easing you into the fact that I'm not an environmental activist. I say that to say, before I tell you what I'm about to tell you, this isn't coming from someone who's this super, everything must be recycled. I don't recycle. Here's why. I'm more of a proponent of stuff that's designed in the first place to break down. Because to me, the thing about recycling is that, oh, so now let's build a new plant to reprocess the plastic and then load it into trucks to spew more exhaust. Well, it takes it to the other factory to make it into something else. You know what I mean? It's like, you're creating more waste you're canceling it out, in my opinion.
Fair enough. I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Is it reducing landfill? I guess, but now you're pumping a bunch of shit into the air. So I don't know. I don't know the answers. I don't have the answers. I've read about this stuff and I don't understand how. Like, there doesn't seem to be a net benefit in the end. I think it's kind of neutral. But, like I say, if it was something that naturally broke down that didn't harm the environment, oh, 100%, I'm there. So, I say all that to say, I came across something really interesting about whales that I think will make y'all super appreciate them if you didn't already, because it certainly made me. And of course, I think it's stupid that they're endangered because people are fuckwits and are slaughtering them to this day, most for no real reason. And hang on, we'll get to that. But anyway, after our story about badass sperm whales, you will, I hope, be happy to know that they are now protected by the International Whaling Commission moratorium and are listed as vulnerable by the International Union for Conservation of Nature, which is good. And not just sperm whales, but because all whales are really vital. And here's why. You know, largest mammals on Earth, lots of different types, and they're all over, north, south, east, west, all the big oceans, and this is good because of the impacts they have on the environment. They benefit humans greatly due to the fact that they are a simple, free, easy way to capture carbon emissions. I had no idea. So, the UN Environment Program says, whales accumulate carbon in their bodies during their long lives, some of which stretch to 200 years. When they die, they sink to the bottom of the ocean, taking the carbon with them. According to the study, each great whale sequesters around 33 tons of carbon dioxide on average. A tree during the same period only contributes to 3% of the carbon absorption of the whale. And then another source said that scientists have made progress in terms of pinpointing exactly how much carbon whales keep out of the atmosphere. One study suggests that every year sperm whales help sequester as much carbon as 694 acres of U.S. forests do. Another found that in Hawaii, the swimming motion of 80 whales can absorb the equivalent carbon of 208 acres of U.S. forests. So, I mean, don't not plant trees, but holy moly.
Wow.
Way to go, whales. And then there's their poop. Check this. So, wherever whales are found, I'm quoting here again, wherever whales are found, so are phytoplankton. These are tiny creatures that produce every second breath we take by contributing to at least 50% of all the oxygen in our atmosphere. They also capture about 37 billion tons of carbon dioxide, or four Amazon forests worth. Four. Whale poop has a multiplier effect on phytoplankton as it contains iron and nitrogen, the elements phytoplankton need to grow. So, the more whales, the more oxygen. So, y'all, whale poop helps us breathe. And, you know, if you don't give a fuck about climate change, or God help us, somehow think that it's this major conspiracy hoax that is miraculously kept secret by thousands upon thousands of people, including experts and scientists, then consider the air you personally breathe. Screw the rest of us. You get yours. You personally benefit from whales. You. It's all about you. You, the whales. Did I sell you? I hope I did. But
you did. Yeah.
Well, you're not a self-centered conspiracy theorist in the first place. So
are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's a conspiracy. It's Tiff. A closet conspiracy theorist. Okay, but wailing still goes on. And it, granted, it's not on the level of the slaughter of the time frame of the story I told you, but it's still knocking off an ever-dwindling population. Whaling for profit was banned in 1986, but what does a ban do by a certain organization? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, some random organization can say XYZ, but unless groups of nations agree to it and put it into, I say law, but yeah, it could be an ordinance. It could be.
Mm-hmm.
So it was talking about how Japan and Iceland and Norway continue to kill various different types of whales every year. And it said, quote, that all three nations believe they have a right to hunt whales. Japan claims its objective is scientific research, while Norway just plain out objects to the ban. And Iceland hunts under a dubious reservation to the whaling ban. And it, the way it, they explained it was that last bit meant they've negotiated certain provisions under which they can still do it and begrudgingly agreed to other stipulations. But again, I'm like, agreed with who and who is enforcing it? And it's all very murky to me. I don't.
Sounds like a lot of PR.
That's what I don't get it. Like, how do you know other people are telling the truth? I guess you have to take it on faith to a degree. And I guess, yeah, if they implement laws within their own countries, you can have trust in that respect. But I'm like, are these really the only handful? It talked about how, quote, their oil, blubber, and cartilage are used in pharmaceuticals and health supplements. Whale meat is even used in pet food or served to tourists as traditional dishes. So, you know, I mean, fuck all that. And I assure you there are no health benefits for humans regarding whale bits and supplements. I mean, don't get me started. Most supplements are not useful. They're modern day snake oil, you know, and some can actually be harmful, but that's for another time, perhaps. But there are allowances for Aboriginal whaling. Won't go down that road here, but that's what I meant earlier when I was like, you know, no good reason. I simply don't know enough about it to speak on it. My general understanding is that it gets into the weeds when you're talking about cultural issues. And again, to my knowledge, there are some situations where these populations are doing it sparingly and are using the entirety of the animal. They aren't just killing it to get, say, the baleen or the ambergris to make damn umbrellas and perfume. So anyway, the point is, collectively, the countries I mentioned, the stats that this organization had, killing about 1,500 large whales per year, and we won't even get into what numbers they're pulling in on dolphins and porpoises. I mean, holy shit. And small whales and babies aren't included in that total. I don't know why. So it's higher than 1,500 to be sure. And they cite Japan as being the main culprit. And Japan, I love you for myriad reasons. You're whiffing on this one, though, man. You're whiffing.
Could be doing better. That's for sure.
So it's like, you know, Nash, you're a tree-hugging hippie liberal who's getting all political, and I'm not going to listen anymore. Well, you know, your definition of political is flawed because facts don't subscribe to the politics of any region. Facts just are. So, you know, nut up and admit that you choose to reject certain facts that don't align with your politics. How about that? Hey, how about that? That's it. That's all I got. That's all I got. No point to hunting whales any longer. We don't need their blubber or spermaceti for oil, and we need them out there pooping so we can breathe. The end.
That's quite a sentence. That's an amazing statement.
That needs to be on a throw pillow. And I would love to go now, you know, again, I don't have any desire to swim in the deep ocean, but I'd love to go on a whale. You know, you go out on a big, substantially sized boat, I would hope, not a whale boat. A substantially sized ship, that is, and go look at whales. I would love to go look at whales.
Yeah, you can have that. I'll stay on the shore.
Oh.
I'm not sure if that's my thing.
Really?
Really. Really. You know, I did a whole in-depth research thing on the Titanic, and just, ocean is scary. It's real scary.
It is. It is, but in that case, you know, if you're that far north, you're going to freeze to death before anything eats you.
There's just lots of scary things. I don't know. I like to look into and watch and read about stuff that terrifies me. And then I like to read about different, you know, boating catastrophes like, you know, Titanic or the Endurance or other maritime disasters. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Those people survived or they didn't survive or that happened. Wow, the human spirit is incredible. Survival. But I'm like, no, nope, thank you. I can sit there and wonder about how people can do that, but I want no part of that at all.
All right, tell us how you dodged a bullet with a Colt.
Like, seriously dodged a bullet, you guys. This wasn't, yeah. Ugh. It's embarrassing, almost. It's really embarrassing. I was like their target audience for this. Yeah, so I was at a music festival. I can't remember if I was already in college or about to start college. You know, it's about that time frame. And at that point, you know, I was just happy to be out and about. I was happy to meet people, happy to just chat with everyone. Oh, you want to go do something crazy? You want to randomly drive to another state for a day? Yeah, Tiff will go. I'll go do that. Let's go on an adventure. Let's do something. So there I am, hanging out on this grass-covered hill, watching some band I can't remember. This guy comes up and approaches me. Starts with the usual, hi, how are you? Well, I'm good, how are you? Starts asking me some opinions about, you know, the environment and climate and this and that.
And whale poop, right? No.
Maybe whale poop. I don't remember the exact conversation. It could have been there.
Now, was he hot?
You know, I don't even remember. I'm going to guess no.
No, if you don't remember, then the answer's no.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So he's asking me these questions, and then he starts to tell me about this group that he's a part of. And I just keep going along with the conversation because I'm like, oh, something new, cool, you know, tell me about this. And after a little bit, he's got this little canvas messenger bag and he starts pulling some stuff out of there. And it must have been at that point that my friend was kind of keeping an eye on me and was like, hey, hold up, hang on a second, what's going on here? And she came over to save me. Now, you know, I was dumb and I was young and I was eager to do stupid things, but I can assure you that I was not about to take off with this guy in a van and go live on a farm. But I totally got suckered into listening to a sales pitch, buying a bumper sticker and one of their CDs. And yes, I totally unknowingly supported a cult.
Okay? I didn't know that you bought merch. You bought cult merch.
I bought cult merch. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, okay? They're smart about it. They're smart. They're sneaky. They come off this as this like eco-friendly, communal, living art farm kind of a place. And sure, they had all of that. But there was also the strict, frequent sex, the weird jobs and the merch sales and moving all around the country. And of course, the isolation from everyone you know and love and, you know, the normal community. So here's kind of the deal with Zendik Farms. That's who this guy was a part of. And it's not going to be like a deep dive, you know, obviously this is just kind of bonus content, but you'll recognize some elements from our episode. And of course, if you're familiar with the news and like the Nexium cult that got the shakedown a couple years ago, but I still have the bumper sticker and it's very simple. It's just, it's white and it's got black letters and it just says, stop bitching, start a revolution.
I might have bought that.
Right? And there I was. I was young Tiff. I had pink hair. I had piercings. I was at a music festival. I was ready to go out and do stupid things. And, you know, so yeah, that totally was like, that'll belong on my wall with my rock posters and stupid other art that I find. And there we go. It seems legit. And guys, this is like pre-Google times, okay? So later on, when I looked this up, and at that point was like, oh shit, they're a cult. All right, so a lot of my quoting here comes from various sources, such as like Wikipedia, Washington Post, Huffington Post, and personal accounts from former members. And of course, you know, there'll be some sources that you can check out. So Wolf Zendik was born Lawrence E. Wolfing in El Paso, Texas in 1920. He was an author, poet, musician, environmentalist, bohemian, and described himself as an undiscovered beat. And he founded the community Zendik, which was also known as Zendik Arts Farm.
Oh, time out. Did you say beat? Like,
yeah.
Undiscovered beet. Beat?
Undiscovered beet, B-E-A-T. Like,
not the root vegetable.
Okay. No.
Beets are root vegetables, right? Yeah. They're in the
ground. Sounds right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, write in if I'm wrong. I ain't looking it up.
We'll go with it.
All right.
I'm waiting for Dwight Schrute to tell us otherwise. All right. And at various times while they were operating, they were located in Florida, Southern California, Texas, North Carolina, and West Virginia. Now, Wolf ran the art farm with his wife and partner, Carol Merson, who later became known as Errol Wolf. So it's Carol just without the C. It's just Errol. According to Washington Post, Wolf's philosophy was a combination of Christian, Buddhist, and existential ideas with a mixture of Wilhelm Reich and basically anyone else who equated sex with liberty. And the crowning theory of his anti-religious religion was called creevolution or creative evolution. And it was the notion that nature's purpose is the expansion of consciousness and that people's individual choices affect the course of its evolution. They had this whole belief in psychic cause and effect, which is just basically everything that happens to you results from a conscious or subconscious desire on your part. So according to Wolf, he says, you attract to yourself what you are. So if you vibe into getting popped while selling, you subconsciously wanted to be reprimanded by a daddy figure, or you subconsciously wanted to quit selling, or you subconsciously wanted to fuck with survival. And according to Errol, everyone who died on 9/11, including the terrorists, building occupants, airline passengers, etc., they were participating in a vast psychic conspiracy, subconsciously arranging their own deaths. Reading through it all, it sounds like the group typically maxed out with around 60 members at a time. And they had started out living in pretty shitty, like, little huts. You know, they would get, like, old, nasty carpet and put it down and just kind of anything they could drag out of dumpsters to make themselves a home. And other than that, they would make art and grow vegetables and live on a farm. And it would seem like a happy little hippie fun commune. But that's not actually what it was. Apparently, they didn't actually get to make a whole lot of art because they were too busy farming and tending to animals. And
I hope they grew beets.
I hope they grew beets. Man. And of course, they had to go and sell all their merch, like the bumper stickers and shirts and CDs and just about anything that they could create that had that fun slogan on there. So they regularly went to concerts and festivals and street fairs and hung out on street corners, just kind of busking for money, which was all brought back to support the farm and pay the mortgage and other bills, which is kind of funny because considering, according to a former member, they promoted tribal living as a way of life which would minimize environmental impacts and reject consumerism. The commune was offered as a model of Wolf's vision for society and as a refuge from the mainstream world. And then Wolf identified and criticized the power of money in politics and society more than a generation before the whole Occupy movement, and advocated for the abolition of money. And then later he explored the isolation of the individual in modern society and how it conflicts with our biological design to live in tribal groups. So apparently Zendik Farm was his effort to put his philosophies into practice while maintaining an independence from the death culture, which is basically all of us normies, you know.
Well, and how many wives did he have?
That's the other thing.
Oh.
You know, So, you know, there was Errol, who was his wife and partner who helped run the whole community. But he apparently had sexual access to the females in the group. And he and Errol also had the final say on who was allowed to date or have sex with each other. So...
I wonder who you would have been paired with.
Right? From what I read, they all had very interesting names. Like, you know, they could show up and they could abandon their death culture name and kind of choose whatever they wanted to be, you know. So I'm sure there was like a Zephyr and a Mutt and whatever other fun names that they just wanted to choose out of nowhere.
What would you... Just off the top of your head.
Oh, man. What would be my art farm name? You know, it would have been something pretty lame. It would have been like Crystal.
I'm looking around my office. Let's see. Microfiber. I would be microfiber.
Ooh, microfiber. Yeah.
Or I could just go really like bacon. I'm sure they were vegetarians, mm-hmm. though. So. Oh, no. Well, they had a farm, so yeah, you're right.
Yep, they had the goats and they had horses and they had chickens and...
Microfiber it is.
Microfiber. Microfiber and Crystal. We are your hosts. But apparently, you know, in their writings, Wolf came off as very, like, militant, kind of take no prisoners, and Errol tried to act like the let's get along and let's be happy, but they ended up being kind of the opposite, and Wolf was seen as the more compassionate person, and Errol ended up being much more of, like, a dictator. So then after Wolf died and she took over, apparently it got even more strict, and she would even control... pregnancies, I guess, you know? So there were punishments for people who got pregnant outside of sanctioned couplings. There were separations of mothers and children, you know, when she didn't approve of the mothers maybe being too influenced by the death culture. There was a lot of control of the food, keeping it under lock and key, limiting communication with the outside world again, which is pretty typical for a lot of cults. And all of your property, all of your money becomes part of the group because they had their mortgage to pay, which ended up being their downfall. So after Errol ended up dying, their daughter, their actual daughter, took over the group and she ran it again as an art community, an art farm. But they had a mortgage that was almost like, it was up to like almost $1 million or something like that. And they just couldn't afford it, even with all their merch sales. And they were online. They had a whole online store. They had a newspaper. Man, they even had like a cable access news show for a little bit. But they just couldn't keep...
I'm sorry.
couldn't keep their ledger in the black there, so...
I'm shocked.
Yeah. So they went bankrupt and they disbanded. I'm sure that there's a few people still wandering around, but all in all, the Zendiks are no longer... Which probably is a good thing, because if you kind of look through the sources, it sounds like it was not a great time. You know, like I said, I wasn't going to be hopping in any vans, but I definitely listened to way more of the sales pitch than I probably should have. And of course, you know, like I said, I supported them. I bought the bumper sticker. I bought the CD.
Well, you were just being polite. I think that was you being polite. You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't think. Yeah. No.
You know, you just have that hard time kind of walking away and be like, uh-huh, yeah, sure. But yeah, I still have that bumper sticker. It doesn't even have like any brand on it. It just has that slogan. So,
well, we'll have to.
They're pretty smart.
We'll have to post a picture of the bumper sticker. We'll post it somewhere whenever I get this posted.
Yeah. And if somebody else has come across this or purchased it or has it on a shirt or a beanie, I don't know. I don't know what other merch, what else they had. Please tell us.
Yes.
Please tell us that I'm not the only sucker. You know, it was like when I was young and walking around in the city and someone sold me a copy of The Onion. Those were free.
Wait, that happened to you too?
Yeah.
Oh, bless her. You're just too nice. You're too nice.
Yeah. I just am like, okay, I guess. I guess I've got, you know, a dollar or two I can, sure. So yeah, please guys, I can't be the only one that got suckered into that.
Yeah, let us know or lie. Just lie to Tiff. Just lie to her. She'll believe it.
Damn it. I've dug myself a hole. This has been Crystal and Microfiber.
Signing off. And I shit on Frozen later. So, you know, I don't like it. I don't like that movie. I think it's very mediocre. I don't understand. Or put it this way. Maybe it's not mediocre. I don't think it's that great, first of all. But maybe I think it's mediocre because of how everybody seemed to lose their absolute minds over it. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't think the characters are well fleshed out. I don't think it's a particularly, you know, fun original take on the very old fairy tale of a Snow Queen. I mean, they didn't, you know what I mean? Like, they zhuzhed up Beauty and the Beast. They zhuzhed up The Little Mermaid. But they didn't really do anything to the story except add a sister who I find grating. I think Anna is so grating and annoying that, and I think the dude... is just this lumbering lump of like he gets on my nerves. I think the snowman's stupid. I wasn't endeared to any of the magical characters.
All right.
Nothing. That song, the song is good. The song, 100%. Song is solid. I have no qualms. I love, is it Menzel? Yeah, because I get tripped up ever since John Travolta butchered her name. Because didn't he call her Danelle or something?
I think so.
It was weirder than that. It was something really strange.
Oh yes, Nash. It was something quite strange. Dear Lord, what a remarkable brain fart. He called her Adele Dazeem. That was very difficult for me, being a text-to-speech guy, but thankfully the ladies spelled it phonetically until I managed. Again, her name is Idina Menzel. What we got was Adele Dazeem. Just stunning.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
But I like Idina. I like her very, very much. I like her voice. I mean, she was Elphaba, and I love me some Wicked. So, but that movie to me, and I'll shut up because the part that annoys me the most, I mention, and you'll catch it because I'll just tell you now, because hell, maybe I can use this for the outtakes episode. I hate that it's like, she can't control her powers. Well, first of all, we never get an explanation for the powers. That irritated me. Oh, and I hate those little lumpy elf gnome mushroom things, too. They were stupid.
The trolls?
But, yeah, okay, trolls. And I don't understand what purpose they served because they explained nothing. What did they advise? Turn her into a hermit. That was their big advice. And the parents were like, okay. And so we never find out what the deal with her powers is. And then on top of that, it's like, oh, poor little wet, fussy kitten lady girl. She can't control her emotions. She's always on her ice period. And so she just lashes out and she is dangerous to everybody. And it's all about her. It's like on her. It's about her emotions. It's about, and she can't control them. And so everything just goes to hell. I'm like, yeah, let's put more shit on women. That's great. Thanks.
You're so right.
I'm just.
You're right.
And I'm not some like, I mean, I consider myself a feminist, but I'm not like a feminist. You know, I'm not that kind of feminist. I don't hate men. I don't think everybody's out to get me. But Jesus wept. There was no subtlety about this. And I just, Okay, go ahead. Whenever you're ready. I'm done.
Okay. Well, for now.
I don't know.
It's all right. It's all right. It's good. It'll make people laugh. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
So we're going to record this, what I'm about to tell you, because it could be of use later. I don't know, but it's our warm up. We hadn't talked in forever, you know?
So I thought, okay. Yeah. I miss you.
Now, to begin, I've been writing a book based on a story that, like, I wrote in a little fan fiction, and a lot of people said, oh, God, there's a random little character I threw in there. And they said, oh, I would kill to hear this woman's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
So then I've made a friend in the subsequent time frame from all those years ago who's an author, like a legit published author. And she was like, go back on Wattpad and post your story, and here's how you tag it, and blah, blah. So it got a fire lit under me. Okay. So branching off briefly, you're familiar with the genre of alpha and beta and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If we ever use this for anything, here's the part where I'm going to cut to future Nash going over that so that everybody's on the same page. Hi, future Nash here. Tiff and I decided to do this rundown because according to our data, the age group of the bulk of our listeners would lend itself to indicating that a good chunk of you would be unfamiliar with all this. I think I'll put some jazzy royalty-free music underneath to try to make this more palatable. The deal on Alpha Beta Omega, or ABO stories, these stories at their core are about supposed wolf pack hierarchy. perhaps other creatures of a canine persuasion, perhaps not. I don't know, because I don't read them. My first foray into the genre was quite enough. I will break it down for you as best I can, and I'm not making promises that I won't gag. And you may love these stories. I'm not shitting on you. I'm not. We are all into different things. It just gives me the icks versus the oohs. But it's not exactly werewolves all the time. In some cases, nobody changes form. Like, for example, in A Werewolf in London or a Twilight kind of way. So it can, but not always. The premise lies in the belief that in a pack of wolves, there is an alpha wolf, aka the leader and enforcer of the group. I actually dispute that in a second during our continuation of our discussion. I mean, it's... science disputes it. Sources and show notes. Anyhow, it's also referred to as Omegaverse, which I don't get because Omegas are the lowest on this character ranking. That's another thing. The premise is based upon there being a pecking order, or a banging order, within this magical subspecies, I guess you could call it, of humans. Humans that have wolfy traits. The alphas obviously are the dominants, then the betas are essentially neutral, and the omegas are submissives. So yeah, there's S&M-esque vibes going on. I'm just going to break form here and read straight from Wikipedia, something we loathe doing when we tell you stories, but this is not history, this is dumb. So, about the behavior displayed, it pertains particularly to, quote, sexual intercourse. This includes rutting, heat cycles, pheromonal attraction between alphas and omegas, scent marking, breeding, pack structures, and penises with knots, referred to as knotting. Okay. So, if you by chance don't know, because I didn't, because I've never watched dogs having sex, turns out when those animals of the canine persuasion nut, there's this bulb at the base of the wang that expands and kind of locks the wee-wee into the hoo-ha. These are all obviously scientific terms. I read that this can occur outside of dogs, by the way, specifically in South American fur seals. Where's my seal erotica? With what I know would be painfully stereotypical South American vernacular and accents. Huh? Where's that? Other details are that Omegaverse can include another subgenre that involves male pregnancy, and various fantasy creatures, including actual werewolves who could also conform to this ABO hierarchy jam, and are also primarily focused on male-male relationships, though there is heterosexual out there. It's just that it hasn't traditionally trended that way. On this note, I'm going to include a link in show notes to a very helpful and very entertaining video that breaks this stuff down, but its main purpose is to talk about what I found to be a hilarious story about someone who claimed ownership to a certain element of ABO. I'm not going to get into any detail here because the person has demonstrated themselves to be quite litigious. To sum up, this started as a fanfic trope and it blossomed to be a plot structure in stories with original characters. I'm done. I think you get the picture. Back to the episode. And we're back. So, are you also perhaps familiar with, several years ago, Drew Barrymore wrote and produced and voiced a little cartoon called All of the Other Reindeer?
I'm not familiar with it, but I believe it.
Okay, so you know in the song, Rudolph, it goes, All of the Other Reindeer. So as in,
okay,
as in A-L-L space O-F space the other reindeer, right?
Okay.
Drew's little story was about a girl reindeer named Olive, O-L-I-V-E. It's cute, right? All of the other...
Cute.
She's Olive, comma, the other reindeer that,
yeah,
that nobody's talked about till now, right? Okay. This relates. Stay with me.
I have to interrupt. Nash has gotten the fine points wrong. Drew Barrymore was an executive producer, and she voiced Olive, but she didn't come up with the story. The cartoon came out in 1999 and was based upon a 1997 children's book. Also, Olive is a Jack Russell Terrier. It is very cute, and you should watch it.
My story, it started populating, depending on what you tag it, it'll populate in different ranks, right? So it ranked like in paranormal. And if you click on the paranormal hashtag, you can filter it to be like, okay, yeah, I want paranormal, but I want vampires, or I want werewolves, or I want whatever. And I was just scrolling through the generic paranormal tag to see kind of, you know, what's my competition? And I scroll by this book. I say book with with heavy
with some leniency. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got your typical, looks like everyone you've ever seen, especially on Wattpad, just generic teen romance, basic beige Becky cover. You know, lily white people who are attractive in some at some level, looking very angsty. And I see right away, it is clearly one of these alpha, beta, omega, bone me werewolf daddy stories. Now, this one is marked for teens. And on my glance, they're using punctuation like colons in place of certain letters so that the cuss words are censored. And the impression I get is so it won't get flagged or they don't have to flag it as mature. But it smacks of ABO. It's tagged with alpha, so I mean, come on. So maybe this is ABO for toddlers. I don't know. I don't care. And while we're here, side note. There are no such things as alpha wolves. It's based on like a 1940s observation of wolves in captivity, which is not the same as observing wolves in the wild. And also 1940s and subsequent research over the years has revealed, no, there's no such thing as alpha wolves. And you might have multiple dominant kind of quote unquote default leaders in a given family, but that's like humans. That's the apes. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, but there's no such thing as an alpha wolf. But let's put all that aside. Who cares? Who cares? Right? Who cares?
Okay.
So I scroll by and I see this book that's like, hang on, let me look. Hang on.
A few moments later.
1.4 million reads, 51.4 thousand votes, 46 parts, estimated time to read, 6 hours and 40 minutes. What is the title? All of the Other Werewolves. All of the Other Werewolves. All right, allow me. This is so when you click on a story on Wattpad, it'll bring up a summary. Mine is one sentence long that shows when you're just out bebopping around in the search results, it'll show this just boom, one sentence. If you click on mine, there's a tiny paragraph that elaborates, right? But you have to scroll down to get to it. The summary on All of the Other Werewolves looks to be the bulk of a chapter. I'm exaggerating. It's a good chunk, though, of a page of a chapter. It's too long, is the point. They've given a sample, not a summary. But what a sample it is. I'm going to read you part of it right now.
Oh, all right.
Buckle in.
Settled and ready.
Yes, buckle in. And hell, I'm almost tempted to have text-to-speech guy read it for me.
Yeah, so, I'm not reading this. I may be a program, but I do possess a modicum of taste.
Shift. His voice hit me like a serrated blade as he stepped... Let's stop. I've got to stop already. Okay.
Okay.
Blades... I guess to a degree can hit you. Typically, though, they slice and stab. So how about his voice cut me or cut into me or sliced into me, whatever. His voice hit me like a serrated blade as he stepped out of the crude semicircle of hardened wolves that had formed around me. I'm going to stop again. I don't know what that means. I'm an adult woman and I don't know. I know what the inference is. It could mean that. It could mean muscled. It could mean like, you know, a bunch of John Cena's standing around her. I don't know, but they're formed around her. I pushed myself off of the cold floor for what felt like the thousandth time that day, wiping the small trail of blood coming off of my lip and down my chin. I won't ask you again. My limbs felt like lead. Comma, these wolves had been at me for... So, no. My limbs felt like lead. Stop. New sentence. These wolves had been at me for hours trying to get me to shift into my wolf. Unbeknown. I mean, okay, it's technically a word, but it's not used in common parlance, so probably should go with unbeknownst. Unbeknownst to them was that the... Oh, hang on. Run on sentence alert. Hang on. Into my wolf, her wolf form, let's rework this, had been at me for hours trying to get me to shift into my wolf form. unbeknownst to them, was that their efforts would forever be futile, considering the fact my wolf would... Okay, well, apparently this is a thing. Shift into my wolf. It sounds like...
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sounds like peeling the skin off of your personal wolf, like your pet. I'm gonna get in there. I'm gonna get it. Okay. Considering the fact my wolf wouldn't make an appearance for me even when I begged, I seriously doubted she would suddenly pop up as a result of their abusive tactics. Instead of explaining my circumstances, driven by a bizarre combination of adrenaline and fatigue, I leaned back on my heels and sent the largest loogie I'd ever conjured flying. Flying?
Conjured? Okay.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo, that loogie. Flying over. And landing squarely between the eyes of the man before me. Okay. We've got some sort of bubble-like divider. As a late bloomer who was incapable of shifting yet, let alone making any contact with her wolf, Olive Ludovic's life was not off to the best start. Growing up, constantly being tormented and taunted by those around her, forced Olive to grow a tough skin and work even harder, despite the fact she was without her wolf. When her home is taken over by a dark pack, life seems to only get worse for Olive, as it is quickly discovered that her mate is none other than Mateo, the alpha of the very pack that was terrorizing her people. It seems to her, comma, that life is just a little bit easier for all of the other werewolves. That's my competition.
Holy crap. Yikes. I'm sorry. Oh, and I'm sure that person has worked hard on their story. You know, it's not something I would have thought of. Let's say that. That's points for creativity.
Let's see here. Oh, I've gone to their profile, all lowercase, which is, you know, super, super original and unique. Okay. I really love werewolves and vampires. I also make covers. Have a lovely day. Also, I cry a lot.
Oh,
1,400 followers.
That sounds right.
And I see that there is an All of the Other Werewolves Part 2 already has 6,000 reads, 359 stars. I have 9 followers. I have I just hit 201 reads. I gotta see.
You just gotta add where
I know.
Add werewolves. If we're learning anything here, add werewolves and loogies.
But it appears all of the other werewolves are taken. Hold on, we got to click on part 2. I got to see the summary.
I hope she works it out with Mateo.
I'll be honest, Mateo looks like an actor that I've seen somewhere. I don't care enough to look. Olive.
It's probably a manipulation from like Teen Wolf or some shit like that.
I mean, he looks like James. No, I've seen this actor before. I've seen him before. But Olive is, it smacks of, you know, those sites where you can combine celebrities
mm-hmm.
into perpetuity and just keep making new faces or upload your own and then combine them with, you know, Angelina Jolie trying to get her lips or whatever. Okay. That is what it looks like. It there's something uncanny valley about it. Okay. Here's the summary for all of the other werewolves too. Brackets. All lowercase. I'll get to this in a wee bit, but in the meantime, if you read book one, you know what's going on here. And if you haven't read book one, make sure you go and do this, because this is real. This really is not a standalone book. No. I'm not going to go read.
Is there like a Cliff's Notes version?
Right. You for sequels, you start off continuing the story of all of the other werewolves.
Olive, yes.
You put continuing the story of Olive, whatever her last name is, we find her pursued by a new enemy, one that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, sequels need summaries too. Look, I realize I'm punching down, and I obviously have no clue what young people like to read, And I'm sure it won't be punching down for long. This kid will get published and win contests and win awards long before I do. Of that I have no doubt. None. Zero. Oh, okay. That's it. That's all I got. I got nothing.
Wowza. That's... Well, Nash, I definitely... I wish you the best of luck in this category.
Thank you. Thank you.
Make sure you tag appropriately.
I want to do an episode now on wolves, even if it's like a 15-minute episode of me reading articles to people and going, "There's you base this on nothing." You base it like, you know, there's got to be some truth. There's truth to a zombie-esque disease, virus, parasitic type stuff. There is vampire-esque, same thing, you know, porphyria, anemia, like you can blah blah blah. So there's actually werewolf diseases, you know, we've talked about that a little bit in the podcast. Mm-hmm. But this whole alpha thing is based on a totally disproven premise. And I will say, if I've learned anything from the Lion Whisperer YouTube channel, which you all should subscribe to, I seem to remember him saying that hyenas do have hierarchies. So there's a dog-esque canine sort of jam. But guess what? It's a matriarchal hierarchy. So your whole beautiful muscled stud conquering you, body and soul, and bringing out your wolf. Nope. Anyway, that's all. That's all I got. That's my competition. And I thought you'd want to know. As my friend, I thought you'd want to know what I'm up against.
I'm pulling for you. I am.
Thank you. Thank you. Look, in a different world, my book is going to get made into a movie. Alexander Skarsgård is out there in the ether. And I'll figure out some role for him to play. Alas, in this world, all of the other reindeer. Oh, no, I'm sorry. All of the other werewolves is the book that's going to get made into the movie. And they'll be like, that old man? No. We have to cast some kid that's barely hit puberty. Or a K-pop star.
Women our age are going to like feel guilty about staring at, because it's like, oh, that's a baby. That's a baby. Mm-hmm.
Did somebody card him? God.
That's how I feel about current Spider-Man. Like, he's super cute. He's a little baby. Like,
he's a doll.
Yeah. I cannot see him in any...
He's a doll.
Like, sexual light at all.
But let's say, hypothetically, all of the other werewolves get picked up to make a movie. Somehow, against all odds, one day, Skarsgård's agents were smoking some really, really good crack. And he gets the script. I can just imagine the phone conversation. Nodding? I beg your pardon. Nodding? What? Oh, God. The bile just came up in my throat again. I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it. Oh, God, I'm not a dog. I'm not a dog. I don't smell like dog. I'm not turning. Oh, no, no.
The first time I saw that, I was like, is the dick like, I didn't get like what was happening there. I was like, what is the dick doing in there? Like, is it like locking into something? Like, what is happening?
And I suppose I'm just ignorant. I mean, I've had several dogs, but they've all been fixed. And so, and my little boy dog, I've never even seen his little ween, you know, get feisty. And
all right.
So, I mean, I knew that cat penises have a barb type quality to them. I had no idea that it is that accurate, or is that something that they've made up? I'm not going to Google it.
I think it happens. I did see another person complaining about that and be like, it's disgusting. I'm a veterinarian and it's gross. Yeah.
Okay. I'll accept it. Again, I'm not going to Google it. Not a vet. So I don't have this knowledge. but it's so disgusting. All right.
Okay.
When you're right. I know we've got to stop talking about this and actually do business, but I am going to cut this and put it with the other file. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. All of the other
werewolves.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hey, kids. So what have we learned today? Well, first, that this wasn't a mini episode after all, now was it? We noted that some podcasts are room temperature hot dog water. We hope you don't think we're one of them. We learned that I continue to assert there are no goblins in Kentucky based upon, you know, lack of evidence. We learned that dolls can be both painted and buried depending on your mood. We learned about whale poo and hippie cult merch, which could totally go together. Why didn't they think of it? There's Tiff's squeaky chair, the unofficial third member of the podcast. There's how to properly open biscuit cans and also morons who boil cans. We covered but a tip of the proverbial iceberg as to why Frozen actually sucks. We touched on how to be a douchebag when it comes to fireworks. And finally, the fact that 12-year-olds probably shouldn't be writing werewolf porn. And P.S., we know this goes without saying because y'all are awesome, but just in case, please don't go dunk on that writer. Although, if you happen to want to do a dramatic reading of a passage or two and send it to us, we aren't going to turn it down. Back to real episodes next time. And this is where the catchphrase goes.
All right. Thanks for listening. As a reminder, you can check out our sources for each of the episodes at our blog, along with any other supplemental things we think you might enjoy. Just head over to youtotallymadethatup.tumblr.com and in the menu, click on show notes.
We're also on Twitter at YTMTUpodcast and on Instagram at youtotallymadethatup. You can contact us at any of those places, and you can also email us. That address is youtotallymadethatup@gmail.com.
We love hearing from you. Whether it's ideas for episodes, your own personal or family stories, telling us what we can do better, and telling us what we should keep on doing.
And if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider taking a moment to rate and review on your platform of choice. Or if you know someone who may like our content, send them our way.
We're so grateful for our listeners and would love to add even more people to our wild podcast family.